Hello and welcome to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show here on KVRU 105.7 FM. Okay, it officially feels like summer here in Seattle, which is scary for many reasons, but mostly because it's the beginning of May and climate change is scary, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about women's sports. I'm Maggie Mertens, an independent journalist. The other half of this show is my producer, Jeff Scott Shaw. We are here to talk anything and everything about Seattle women's sports. To get you all caught up on what you might have missed, answer your questions, give our hot takes, hear your hot takes, and yes, bring sports radio to the women's teams in a way that they deserve. If you missed our show last week, go back to our archive on kvru.org or on your favorite podcast feeds, because we had an incredible show talking with Ava Wood, aka 365 Hockey Girl, and Heather Koimuka of The Hockey News, recapping the Torrents' inaugural season here in Seattle and what's next for the PWHL. While we're sad that hockey season is now over, we are in the full swing of Reign FC season, and we got to head back to Climate Pledge Arena this week for the Storm preseason basketball game. We will be talking about all that and more this hour. Stay tuned for all of your Seattle women's sports scores and headlines from the week, a recap of the Reign FC game versus Houston Dash on Friday, and the preseason Storm game last Wednesday versus the Portland Fire. We have a very special guest hot take that you are simply not going to believe, and we've invited Jeff Brown from Storm Chasers and invited Aunt Bella Munson of the 9 News to chat all that's going on with this brand new Storm roster. So if you don't know what's going on there, join the club. We will break it all down for you in the second half of the show. All right. Should we head into scores and headlines, Jeff? So the Reign played on Friday over in Houston. There were several takeaways from this game for me against the Houston Dash. The weather was awful again. The Reign just kind of keep ending up playing these games during torrential downpours. It was so bad that it looked like no one was even at the game, because I think everyone was like huddling up above like they do at Lumen. And apparently it was not a warm Texas Reign either. It was like 50 degrees or so. And by the way, like watching this game, Houston's pitch looks terrible, which is really annoying since they call themselves a soccer specific stadium, but football teams play there. So, and you can see the football lines on the pitch. So I'm sorry, but just watching that made me feel like, what year is this and why are these people playing here? The Reign went into this game coming off last week's 3-0 loss against Utah. So they had a lot to kind of prove to get it back together. And the big takeaway was that they held it to a 0-0 draw. Nobody loves a 0-0 draw in soccer. You know, but there were some positives. They did hold that clean sheet after giving up 3 goals in their last game. And this wasn't easy. Houston's been scoring a lot. They've scored 9 goals through 5 matches so far. So this game against Houston was a great one for our keeper, Claudia Dickey. And no one is happy that the Reign has not scored for 3 straight games now. That's 3 straight games that they've been held scoreless. But they did really create some chances in this game. I was like, for a 0-0 game, it was pretty exciting. Mia Fischel was who I was kind of keeping my eye on. She, I'm sure, is kicking herself at this point, because she had just like 2 really amazing shots on goal and a couple other opportunities, but just could not quite get the ball where it needed to be. In the first half, Mercado had a beautiful pass through the defense to Fischel right in front of the net, but she just like couldn't get her foot on it in the right way to like give it that powerful shot past the keeper. The second half, Fischel missed another one on a cross, and just a minute later she had another opportunity in a crowded box right in front of the goal. She took a second touch and just didn't quite get her foot on it in the right way. After the game, Coach Harvey said that she feels like Fischel just needs that final piece to come. Like, she's like almost there to become this big scorer. You know, she's in the right spaces. She's taking the shots at the right time. It's just like getting that last bit of like getting your foot on the ball in the right way. Midfielders Ainsley McCammon and Maddie Mercado also had shots on goal during the game, as well as defender Madison Curry. Amari Adames also had a great breakaway ball at one point, but her shot went wide. And Sofia Huerta had a great shot on a corner kick that just hit the crossbar, which you hate to see. But this was a really exciting game. There were some good chances. They just couldn't quite take advantage of the opportunities. The Reign will be back home this Sunday on Mother's Day against the Washington Spirit. I will be there because I decided last year that this is a great way to celebrate Mother's Day. I went to the Mother's Day game at the Reign, and it's fantastic to just sit there and watch soccer and let my husband take the kids away when they are tired of watching soccer. So I will be there. It will be sunny and warm again, which was not like the case last year. So that's a win I will take. Did you see the game or have any thoughts?
I didn't see the game. I do wonder how long the Reign can go
scoreless
without scoring. Yeah.
I'm hoping, I don't think it'll be too much longer. They're playing the Washington Spirit on Sunday, so that is going to be a tough one. But, you know, it'll also be exciting. You know, it's one of those things where you step up, right? Like the team steps up if the opponent is good. And I'm excited to see that, especially with all of these folks really pressing on the goal and making these chances happen at least. So yeah, I hope it's not any longer.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I like Laura Harvey.
Yeah.
I just wonder, it was the conversation Susie had, you know, with us, like, who's going to put the ball in the back of the net?
Mm-hmm.
I hope Mother's Day is a cheerful, sunny event.
Yes. Also on that note, Lynn Biondolo did have her baby. So that's also happy first Mother's Day to her, I guess, early. I think I saw it on Instagram during the Storm preseason game when I was so excited. But that brings me to, yes, the second preseason game here in Seattle was against the Portland Fire. The Fire are an expansion team this year, but if they sound familiar, that's because they were previously a WNBA team. Only for three seasons, they played from 2000 to 2002, but they were obviously the perfect rivals for our Storm, being right, you know, down 9-5. And just because of playing them in this preseason, I looked up the last time that the Portland Fire and Seattle Storm played, which was August 9th, 2002, which was Sue Bird's rookie season, and the first of 10 seasons that Bird and Lauren Jackson played together. Other notables on the roster at that time, Adia Barnes, Kate Starbird, Simone Edwards, and the final score of that game was 83-74. Two of the Storm starters from Wednesday night were not even born in 2002, so, and I think about four or five of the whole roster was also born after 2002. So, the Fire is back. The preseason game was interesting. I got to attend and go to the pressers there, and we're going to talk about that game a little bit more later with Jeff and Bella, but the Storm did win this one. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the stats. And they were ahead by quite a bit for most of the game. I don't know exactly what it says, since this was not a typical game. It was a preseason. Everyone's still figuring out their rosters. Coach Rauman, it was definitely, you know, playing everyone again to try to figure out who is going to be waived in these last roster moves. And you're not going to play your starters very much, right? So we didn't get to see too much of the superstars that we are hoping to see this season. But I did want to point out a few highlights. Zaya Cook had 19 points in 18 minutes. Flage Johnson had 20 points in 19 minutes. And Dom had a double-double, 10 points and 11 rebounds in 19 minutes. And, like, you didn't even notice she was making a double-double. Like, it just kind of, she was on the floor and these things happen, which I think was a really great sign. Of course, Portland is also not the best team. They're an expansion team. They didn't go very hard within the WNBA in their expansion picks. So there's not a lot of notable talent for me. They were mostly new names. but they have recruited heavily from abroad. And it was just fun to be back at Climate Pledge and to see a brand new team in the W. And there will be so much more about the storm coming up as we chat with our other fellow storm reporters about this upcoming season and what's going to go on with this roster before the home opener this Friday. So some caveats there, but it was a win.
And there's, you know, it's crazy how fast this preseason is, right? It was like 18 days or whatever, some crazy thing since they signed the CBA.
And then it was the college draft. A week later, they were in camp.
Well, they had the expansion draft. Then they had the college draft. Yes. Well, free agency, yes. Expansion draft. I mean,
all of that.
Yeah.
And then they've barely been in camp together. So this is also just going to be, it's going to be a wild WNBA season just for so many reasons.
Well, yeah. And I think we talk about this on the extended piece of, you know, that we're going to do this roundtable with, we're going to play with Jeff Brown and Bella. Mm-hmm. But like the day after, then they make cuts, right? Yeah. And then today the Storm cuts Tyana Mayer. Mm-hmm. So like there's more, they're just like, I still don't think we're going to know. You're going to talk about, I mean, Natasha Cloud got signed, but like there's just like stuff is just so happening so fast. I think it's going to take a little bit before the dust really settles and we know what's going on.
Yeah. And I mean, if anything, right, that is interesting and exciting, and it means that just because, you know, we don't know exactly what this roster is going to look like at the very beginning, we don't know what's going to happen in this season. And maybe that's a good thing, right? Like there's a lot of unknowns, and a lot of opportunity to kind of shake things up too throughout. So that'll be interesting. And we will definitely be talking more about the W, the second half of the show. All right, Jeff, UW softball played 3 games against Ohio State in Columbus over the weekend. They lost the first game 4-5. Won the second game 8-2 and lost the third game 2-3. So that was a bummer to get just one blowout win and then drop the other two in such close fashion. Did you have any thoughts about that series?
I mean, I think it was maybe the first time UW's actually played at Ohio State. Mm. And you know, it's a real bummer for them. Heading into the Big Ten tournament, you know, they ended up being the fifth ranked team in the conference. Ohio State, I think, is the 6th ranked team. Nope, Ohio State's the 8th ranked team. So they're going to play Minnesota, I think, is what.
Yep, they're playing Minnesota there. On Wednesday.
Minnesota, and then winner of that series, which they beat Minnesota before, and that is swept series. Winner of that series will play Indiana. So they're on like Nebraska side of the bracket, which kind of sucks. I don't know how the tournament seeding would happen. Like, I don't know what would happen if they beat Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament, because I do not believe that they played Nebraska this year. So that, you know, is kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think they're gonna be in the tournament.
Yeah.
Whether they get to host a couple games, we'll see how that plays out. But I know they weren't. Yes, there was a lot of their bats were really popping in that one game.
Yeah.
Not so much in the other two games.
Yeah. And so
this is the time when you need your bats to really heat up all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a great, it's always a great sign to get a real blowout too. Like, I think it shows you can do it, right? It gives you a little bit of that momentum going in, and yeah, maybe they'll go in, you know, feeling a little bit like an underdog when they play Minnesota over in College Park, Maryland for the Big Ten tournament, which happens on Wednesday. The Seattle Majestics played the Los Angeles Legends on Saturday here at their home field in Kent. I actually do not know the final score. I cannot find it anywhere. So if anyone knows, please reach out. I cannot find it on their website or the Instagram page, but I did see in very exciting crossover news that CJ Jackson and Megan Carter from The Torrent were on hand for the Majestics game. They did the pregame coin flip, and there were just a ton of Torrent fans there excited to see those two supporting the women's tackle football here in Seattle. The Majestics do have one more home game, I think. Let me see.
May 16th. Yes. Yep.
May 16th. So down in Kent, you can get tickets on their website. Hot takes this week. Okay. Lots of WNBA news happening, but I know we've all been concerned about Natasha Cloud. There was all of these rumors flying about whether Natasha Cloud is being blackballed by the WNBA for being a very outspoken person, for being very supportive of Palestine and many other issues. You know, she's been doing these amazing videos with Mayor Mamdani over in New York. She was unsigned throughout free agency, basically, and up to, you know, this point today, as we're recording this, this is Monday the 4th. She finally was signed today to Chicago in a $550,000 one-year deal. So there was a lot of rumor that, you know, maybe what was happening was this blackballing. And then, you know, she sort of insinuated, no, I'm holding out. I'm actually just holding out for a really good deal. She switched agents. Like, she had a new agent sign her. So, you know, she was really fighting for what she was worth. I'm also just really sad because, like, the Chicago Sky, like, used a really cute pun to announce it, that, like, we have another cloud in the sky, and, like, the storm could have used that. Like, the storm could have signed Natasha Cloud. Kind of like the perfect name for the Seattle Storm. Extremely sad. She just really is like one of my favorite players in the WNBA, if not the favorite at this moment. But it also is upsetting because she's going to this Chicago Sky team that just seems crazy overloaded with talent. And I cannot figure out like what happened here. They traded away Angel Reese. They waived Haley Van Lith. And yet, like, they signed Skylar Diggins. They took Skylar Diggins. They have Courtney Vandersloot. So they have 2 point guards already. Sign Natasha Cloud. They have Dejanay Carrington, Rekaya Jackson, Camilla Cardozo, Azaree Stevens. I mean, like, when you think about rosters like that, and then you're looking at the roster of the Storm that we're working with, and like all of this hope for these young people, I don't know, it's hard to see how the Storm is going to match up with a roster like that. And I am just wondering where the heck the salary cap is in this scenario. Like, where is Chicago getting all of this money? You know, they're coached by Tyler Marsh, who was an assistant coach at the Aces during their, you know, several years of being dominant, as well as with the Toronto Raptors before that. So, you know, clearly he has some sway or something, or all of these gals, you know, made friends at Unrivaled and decided to play together. But I am just, I'm kind of worried about this team. I feel like they're going to be sort of bulldozing through the league. And I would love to know where all of the money is that they're stashing, you know, under the bleachers or whatever to pay all of these women. That's my hot take.
Yeah. I just looked it up. It looks like they possibly have $148,000 of cap space. So
that is not a lot.
They're riding that line. They are riding that line as much as they can, is what it looks like. For comparison, according to this website, which is Sports Tracker, the Storm have $1.8 million of cap space. So
that is not surprising.
quite a big jump. I think my very quick hot take around this subject is, the 11th round in the first round, the 11th pick in the first round draft last year, Haley Van Lith, just got waived. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Marta Suarez, a first-round draft pick. Oh, no, she was a second-round draft pick, but traded for, you know, first Storm traded Flage mm-hmm. for that second-round pick. Yeah, got mm-hmm. waived. Taina Mayer, the Storm's first-round, first one of the round Storm's pick. Three first-round draft picks, or two, but first-round pick, just got waived. I think, you know, there was a conversation at Media Day, do these extra two developmental slots help, you know, more players get into the league? You know, one of the players answered, like, no, we just have to make the team. It's not really that big of a deal. Like, it's not really that helpful with expansion. And there's two expansion teams and two extra, you know, slots per team. I just think the W needs to really have some tough conversations about, like, roster size. You know, when is that? I think this new CBA outlines some of it, but, like, I think it's pretty terrible when your first round picks are still getting waived and not able to be on rosters. You know, I don't know what the solution is. Like, if you get picked in the first round, you have a guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it might work out for the Storm. Like, the Storm have $1.8 million to work with. I don't know if they have that money. Maybe they sign Haley Van Lith. You know, maybe they cut somebody. And, I mean, like, why do you draft someone? If you're not getting the number one overall pick or maybe the third overall pick, why are you drafting anyone then?
Yeah.
Because someone's going to get cut the next year. And they're going to be available to pick up. Yeah. And so, like, what are we doing here? Why? Maybe just go to everyone's a free agent. Like, there is no draft, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's like, I don't know. Something feels weird. Something feels off about that. W needs to figure that out.
Yeah. I was really surprised by the Taina Mayer news. I also really liked what I saw in the first two preseason games. I think there's still a chance they try to sign her to a developmental deal. But then I don't know. It feels like if you're waiving them earlier, there's less of a chance of that than holding on and waiting till later. It's weird, right? It's weird.
Well, or like, you know, you have to waive a player. If you don't sign him to a developmental contract right away, yeah. You have to waive the player, let him go through waivers. Another team can poach them and then they become a development deal. Like, if you really care about developing players and you really care about sustainability of teams, let a team slap that developmental player label on a player that they really want.
Yeah.
Maybe you think that they're going to make the team, but then you can put that label on that player before the season starts and you don't have to cut them, make them go through this, you know, whatever.
That feels weird to me.
Like, I could swear all day long about this, but, like, fix that. Yeah, you know,
that one because
like, you're not doing a service to the basketball talent that is there. Mm-hmm. You're not allowing teams to really pick someone and say, you know what, we're gonna draft you because of your potential and we're gonna stash you on our bench. You're gonna make $30,000 to $100,000 this year, but we're gonna put some resources and time into you.
Yeah.
And so I just think, like, I think people will be clever with how they do that, but the W's gotta figure that out. Like, you're drafting someone in the first round and then you're cutting them the same year or the next year. Like, come on. Why do you have a draft?
It's wild.
It seems like a waste of time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think I read that after the Sky waived Haley Van Lith. And since they traded away Angel Reese, so they've lost both of their first round picks from the last 2 years. Right. It's a weird thing. I'm really interested to see how the developmental player thing works out throughout the season. But yeah, I really hate the cutting and waving them prior to. It seems a little strange. All right, Jeff. We also have something a little different this week. We heard from one of you. We're actually thrilled to be doing this. If you have your own hot take about Seattle women's sports, please reach out to one of us to be on the show. Email us at theforecast@kvru.org or find us on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports and send us a DM and we will reach out. Okay, we will be right back with this hot take. Welcome back to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show. We are here with you with a very special hot take in honor of the WNBA season kicking off officially this week. We're actually bringing in a guest hot taker who wants to talk to us about the Seattle Storm's story mascot, Doppler. This is Sarah Rose Nottingham, a local basketball fan, actress, and coffee entrepreneur. Sarah Rose, what is your hot take?
Okay, first off, I want to say thank you both. Thank you, everybody. Go Storm. I also want to give a little background that I have a degree in acting and have worked as a mascot in the past. So I do have strong opinions on mascots because I'm a fan and because I know what it takes to be in the suit, to bring the energy for a crowd. And I know how challenging it is and that it can be easy to not bring that energy. This is a nice transition into my hot take. Essentially, the nicest way I can say this, I guess, Doppler's tired, everybody. Doppler is tired. I haven't seen folks get excited to see Doppler since last August.
Sarah, in our original conversation about your hot take, you not just think that Doppler is old and tired, you think you had an idea to propose a new mascot. Now, this isn't the end all be all, but you at least had an idea. Kick it off. What is your hot take? What could the mascot be?
Thinking about Seattle Storm, thinking about what Seattle is famous for, so many things, obviously, but then I feel like the number one association is rain. And I would love to have our new mascot be a character named Raindrop. And it's just a raindrop with arms and legs. Kind of does like high energy dances in a raindrop suit. And I don't see why Raindrop couldn't hold like, you know, a locally designed bag that looks super fashionable. Like, we have amazing fashion designers here. Like, I don't know that we have Seattle Fashion Week yet, but I'm just saying we have like really, really talented designers that I would love to highlight with, I'm going to say it, my work as Raindrop. And just have like high energy dances. I'm friends with choreographers and I don't know if you can hear in the background, my partner is playing Raindrop, Drop Top, because that's what got us started on this conversation. Like, what if we had Raindrop, and probably she, they pronouns, let's be real, and this is a WNBA game, but anybody can be a fan, obviously. Everyone is welcome at a WNBA game and to all the events. Yeah. Raindrop, Drop Top, and then roll from there. There are so many puns we can do, so many dances, so many performances, so many events, so many celeb appearances. Like, I don't see why Raindrop couldn't show up at the Gates Foundation for some reason to talk about global health. Like, it would be a big deal. Or the top of the Space Needle. Not that I need to fall from the Space Needle, but that would be cool to be up there. Anyway, that's it. Oh, I can't believe I shared that hot take with the world. Ah, okay. This
is Sarah Rose for the new Doppler. I love it. Okay, we didn't know anyone could ever be so passionate about Doppler, but it all totally makes sense to me now, Jeff. I think I might even be on board with Sarah Rose here. My children, I've been on the record that they are very scared of Doppler. So any change might be good in my household on that front. All right. The second half of the show, we have just a wonderful wealth of information coming your way. If you are just catching up and wondering what the heck is going on with the Seattle Storm this season, it doesn't look anything like it did last year. A whole lot has changed. Do not worry. We have got you covered. Yes, there's a new coach. Yes, there's pretty much a whole new roster. Yes, there are new CBA rules about roster caps and sizes and who the heck is playing point guard for us. We would love to know how many injuries can Storm start the season with. And the one update that we have mentioned that's happened since this recording is that the Seattle Storm has waived point guard Taina Mayer, who was their number 13 overall draft pick. I think that's a mistake. You will hear why later. And who knows, maybe they're trying to get her onto that developmental contract, but we will see. Other than that, as of this recording, all of what we are about to talk about with Bella Munson and Jeff Brown stands. All right, take it away. Hello, and welcome to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show here on KVRU. Jeff and I are here today, joined by Bella Munson, Seattle Storm's beat reporter for the Nine Sports, and Jeff Brown from the Storm Chasers newsletter. Welcome back, Jeff, and welcome, Bella.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we are so excited. It is not only May, it is now officially Storm season. We've had two preseason games for this new Seattle Storm, and we are looking forward to Friday, May 8th, our opening game for the Storm. Also will be the home opener, so very exciting. We wanted to bring together some Storm reporters so that we could just chat about what this season is going to look like. There are so many unknowns, so many new faces. And I guess I just wanted to kick off with saying that, you know, we did get the news after that second preseason game that we've had the first waived players, Jalen Brown, Ella Dean, and Beatrice Montpremier. Not really surprises there. But Storm does still have a few spots to free up. So I believe at least two more players do need to be waived off this roster, and two need to be marked developmental players. Any predictions on your end? Is that right, first of all? And any predictions on your guys' end how this roster is going to shake out?
Well, I will note the odd thing with the developmental slots is I believe the player has to be waived first, make it through waivers, and then can be assigned to a developmental slot.
Oh, I did not know that.
So they are technically going to waive four players. That will also sort of depend on when Awafam is supposed to come back. I had originally been told sort of early May, but now it sounds like she might be staying through whenever their playoffs ends, which could be around the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Then you also have Ezzy out for another 4 weeks or so at least. Katie Lou Samuelson, we have no return date on. So while you have waves that are going to happen, we also don't totally know yet like what sort of injury reprieve signings we may be able to see, if the Storm would qualify for any of those or not.
Yeah.
So yes, you're sort of correct on the number, and also no one knows.
It's a lot, right? And starting the season with this many injuries, I mean, also feels really like it's gonna put Storm in a tough spot. Jeff, do you have any like thoughts about the developmental player designation?
Yeah, so Bella is correct that they're gonna have to cut four players total. If they had signed them initially as a developmental, they could have just kept them. But since they signed everyone as like regular training camp, they have to go through the whole evaluation process, the cut, the waiver process, put them on the waiver wire. So
someone else could pick them up, yes, theoretically.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to kind of see. Yeah. And it's also going to be like really curious to see how they want to play this out because I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm very curious about what they do like with Lexi Brown, because she has a guaranteed contract. But now normally that would like kind of handcuff the team, but because of the salary cap increasing so much this season, and the fact that the Storm did not sign like multiple million-dollar players. They have the salary cap space where they could cut Lexi if they wanted to. I don't know if they want to, but then if they don't, it really does kind of complicate things.
Yeah, let's talk about that. There are a few folks, you know, Lexi Brown, Zaya Cook, Mackenzie Holmes, folks that we've seen before who, you know, really do, you know, didn't get to play very much under the last coaching staff and are really being given a chance, it looks like, under Sonia Roman. Any surprises for you guys from those folks that we've seen before, but like are kind of playing in this new light?
I mean, I've been impressed with Zaya. I think this is the best she has looked in a long time. She is still, in a very technical, statistical sense, an inefficient player in terms of her shooting. And I think that is sort of the biggest drawback. At the same time, when she is shooting confidently like she was on Wednesday, like it makes a difference. She is really good at putting pressure on the rim with her driving ability. That's an ability that not all players have. She's talked a lot about how the belief that Sonia has in her has been really big for her, how playing at Athletes Unlimited really reminded her of who she can be. It seems like Sonia Roman also has belief in her to play the one, which I'm a little less convinced that she's a point guard. But if Sonia thinks that she can play the one and the two, that kind of pushes Taina Mayer out of the picture a little bit. In terms of if your primary and secondary point guards are Natisha Heidemann and Jade Melbourne, you don't necessarily need a third true point guard. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but I do think that it's the best size looked in a while. She has, you know, it's hard to go wrong with someone who is coached by Dawn Staley, to be honest. Like it's really, I think there is just something competitive as heck about her players. They know how to win. They know what it takes to be a professional. In terms of Mackenzie Holmes, I've been, I don't want to say disappointed, but I don't think I've seen enough from her.
Like, or rather, I don't know. I didn't have high expectations, and I don't feel like I'm not a Mackenzie Holmes fan.
she is such a wonderful personality. Like a quote that stuck out to me from, I think it was Media Day, was something along the lines of like the special teams that are getting extra possessions is what her focus is on. Like she doesn't really think she's going to be a scorer for this team. And the reality is she's not big enough to be a center like she was in college. And she hasn't quite developed her three-point shot enough to spread the floor from the forward position. And she's looked surprisingly a little lost in the preseason games. Like I haven't really seen her hold on to the ball or be quite as strong rebounding as I would have expected. Which is where I think someone like a Jaylen Brown with an E or Renaya Davis even sort of have an edge over her. Even Grace Van Sluten, although I kind of like her more for a development spot. I think their versatility gives them an edge over someone like Mac Holmes. But maybe if they don't plan on playing her anyway, they just want that culture piece. And she is definitely that person who's going to sit on the bench and be like your loudest cheerer. And sometimes that does make a difference. You know, it's not necessarily how I would build my roster.
Yeah. Hard with this tight of a roster too.
Yeah, but some coaches really do value that. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think, Beth?
Yeah, so there's a lot to go off of that. I'll stick with the Mackenzie Holmes stuff first, which is, so there's like some interesting things here, interesting dynamics. You mentioned it a little bit ago with Ezzie's injury, Awa, who she could be, technically she could arrive before the first game, as Bella was saying, but because she, depending on how her team does in the playoffs, she might miss all of May. Essentially. And then that's like a quarter of the season right there. So that's two post players that they could be without for like an entire month of the regular season. And, you know, I have concerns with the Ezzie thing because they said, what was it? Was it 4 to 6 weeks? Right.
They said six to eight weeks.
And they said that like it would be reevaluation. Yeah. Like that's not even, oh, she'll be back in like 6 to 8 weeks. So like I've been writing about how Ezzie could essentially miss like all of May and possibly all of June or half of June. And then that's like, you know, if it's all of June, it's essentially dang near 50% of the season. But yeah, so to bring it back to Mackenzie Holmes, right now, like she's probably, if you, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk of positionless basketball and everything, but right now she would probably be third on the depth chart as a post player behind Steph Dolson and of course Dom Malonga. And so I wonder if they keep her for that reason, which would make sense. I know Bella had mentioned also, like, one thing I'm kind of curious about is with Renia Davis, because she is she's not quite as tall, but she is strong. She is physically strong. She can rebound. So there is a chance I could see Renia getting that spot ahead of Mackenzie. But another thing, to circle back to my initial thing with Lexi Brown, if they're dead set on keeping Lexi, I think Mackenzie probably is the one that gets cut. Mackenzie would be eligible for the development squad. And then with like, if Awa's gone for still a while, and obviously Ezzie will be, they, in theory, now obviously they have to clear waivers and everything, but in theory, they could cut Mac, re-sign her to the development squad, play her earlier in the year when they need that post depth. But then when the season has kind of gone on, when Awa has there, ideally when Ezzie is back, now you're kind of set at post with the four players.
Yeah, it's a funny situation to be in after, you know, I think after draft day, we were all like, oh my God, so many post players, so much height. And now it's like, wait, nobody's here. Where did we all go? Super interesting. Let's talk guards. It was sort of also, you know, Jeff, Shaw and I had this discussion around, around the draft, like, okay, do we have a point guard? Is there a point? Like, will a point guard please raise their hand? And now it's almost like we're playing multiple point guards on the floor at the same time. And yeah, how do we think that's all going to play out? I personally was really impressed by Taina Mayer. I like her as a point guard. I like her as, you know, she sees the floor, I think, in a different way. Had the most assists both preseason games with like very few minutes. What do you guys think is gonna play out there in terms of Jade? Who else do we have? Jade, Natisha. Zaya, Natisha, yes. Which again,
it would be your main one.
Yeah, and then Taina. So like, how are we seeing this all play out?
No, Natisha's fine.
She did have a foot injury, so she missed the first game, but it was like a toe injury or something. She's back. She played, obviously, in that. She had some... she had some type of toe injury, I think they said. So, you know, whether that...
My guess is it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it could also just be more like resting your veteran player. Like, there's no need to play her in the first preseason game. I think you've seen that with a lot of different players throughout the preseason games. Like, there's just no reason to overdo it that early. I guess because I'm already talking, I can start.
Go ahead, Bella.
You know, the thing that's interesting about Natisha is she has been a role player for so long.
Yes.
And that role has been sort of as a backup point guard, backup shooting guard. I've always thought of her as more of a shooting guard than a point guard. And I think she's very capable of adjusting. But I do think, you know, you're not going to get the same level of assists you got from a Skylar Diggins. Very few point guards would give you that, to be fair, to Skylar. But it's definitely very different. And I feel like they may have gone more for her shooting than her being a point guard. Jade, I'm so thrilled, is back, honestly. I think Her on Media Day again was great. It's like, I am the same sort of fast player, but a little bit smarter now.
I did appreciate she said that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's young. Gosh. Yeah. She's 23. I want to say she's like 2 years younger than me. Her first year playing in the WNBA was my first year covering the WNBA. She was very sweet. So it's very nice personally for me to have her back. I think she fits perfectly within the system that Sonya wants to play. And I'm almost wondering if it makes more sense for her to be your starting point guard and Natisha to be your starting two guard.
Interesting.
I'm not sure that either of them are quite like, they're not the starting point guard on the championship team, right?
Yeah.
Neither of them are. And obviously that's also not what the Storm are expecting this year. And I don't really know what my point was there. I think.
What do you think Taina plays in?
I think it's tough for her if Sonya views Lexi and Zaya as being able to play the point. I don't agree that they can play the point. However, that has been something that has been done. And it wouldn't necessarily surprise me for a coach to go over to go for quote unquote versatility there and players who can play more than one position. But I do think that at the very least, I would sign her to a development spot. I think she has potential for sure, but I also think she's kind of similar to Heidemann, where like at the professional level, she's a bit more of a two guard than a point guard. And that's sort of based on conversations I've had with some of my colleagues who covered her playing at Duke. Mm-hmm. And she was very good at Duke, and she, you know, played under Kara Lawson, another coach that is really, really great. Yeah. But I do think it's going to be another season of kind of back to like, what was it, 2023 with Jewel Lloyd, like back to who is the point guard?
Don't say that.
Like
nobody wants that.
Sammy Whitcomb playing point guard a bunch, like that is, oh God, like, yeah. It's kind of a similar, like Jade is a much more clear point guard.
True.
Like you at the very least have Jade, but to not have that in your starting point guard where they are very clearly a point guard is a little concerning to me.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, so I think one of the more fascinating points that Bella was bringing up was if Jade would start, and I feel like that could go two ways, right? Could she end up earning the starting point guard position over Natisha? I do not think that that will happen out of the gate. They signed Natisha to one of the largest contracts for the team. I think it was about, what, 700,000 or around there.
Yeah, I think second only behind Ezzy.
Yeah, so
because I don't think Dolson was paid as much.
Yeah, and so I definitely think they're bringing Natisha in, and I'm sure they lured Natisha away from Minnesota with like, hey, you have a real good chance to start here. Obviously, we didn't know what was going to happen in the draft. I think a lot of us felt like Olivia Miles would have made a ton of sense to draft to be point guard of the future, but she did not last until three. And that probably was part of, you know, I'm sure the Storm were well aware of all that, and, you know, hence why they signed Natisha Heidemann, because they're like, well, at least then we have that, and then they end up signing Jade as well. I will be curious, I think we saw Jade and Natisha play together a little
at
bit
the same time
in the last game. So to Bella's point, they could roll with that, which, I mean, I frankly, I don't want this to be like a Lexi Brown hater like chat or anything, but I would play those two above Lexi myself. As far as Taina goes, yeah, this one is fascinating because of she is a first round pick. But then again, like someone like Zaya Cook, so is Zaya. Zaya was 10th overall, just behind Jordan Horston. And if they really want to get cute with it, they could potentially cut Taina and then try to re-sign her back to a development squad. I would not do that. I would not advise that. I don't think it's worth the risk. I don't see it, like, I'm not sure Lexi provides enough. Because, like, right now, Zaya is shooting better than her. Zaya is a better ball handler than her. Zaya is better at attacking the rim than her. And Taina is 22. Zaya's 25. Lexi's 31.
Yeah.
You know, the I guess the only way you would, in my mind, the only way you would keep Lexi over them is if you're putting, you know, either Mackenzie Holmes on the development squad or Taina Mare on the development squad. I would not risk Taina.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. I think she'd make a great developmental player for being young and, you know, probably needing a little bit of time to get used to the W and figuring out her role here. But you're totally right that she'd probably be a big gamble to put out through waivers.
But that means, like, this was what blows my mind and what Megan and I were talking about is, like, that means that they drafted her in the first round, did not sign her to a developmental deal, which they could have done right away, and are now playing with fire, right? So, like,
unless they want to keep her and, yeah, let Lexi go and let, I mean, this is, there's just so much to play with.
I think the development slots are also still so new.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Only a couple teams immediately signed their development slot. And the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Justine Pissot from Vanderbilt signed one with Indiana. Okay. And, sure. And that is the only one off the top of my head. I think there's maybe three, four of them.
Yeah. So I guess then my question is, like,
why did they draft her in the first?
Well, that's Maggie's question. When does the roster need to be locked, and when do they have to either declare that they need help because of injuries? You know, like, what's the process?
I think it's just before the first game.
There's nothing settled.
Roster set before the first game.
It might be a couple days, right? A couple days before. Like,
I actually think it's the day before.
Yeah. May 7th.
I feel like that's what it's been in the past, is your roster just has to be set the day before opening day.
They know. They have an idea. It's not like they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. No,
they
for
definitely
sure.
have an idea. I feel like this is like during the draft, I was so confused. I was like, what are we doing? Who are these people making these decisions? And then it was like, oh, you sign, you get the Flage pick, and you're like, oh, okay, there's something going on here. And
Kalisa saved her job by getting Flage for basically nothing.
Yes, Bella. Yes. Okay, I just want your, like, very last take a second and decide if you were the GM right now, who are you waiving? Two. You can do the two. Not the developmental players, but, like, two that you're waiving for sure.
I don't know. For right now, Holmes is a cut for me. Like, based on the minutes she's played, it seems like they aren't going to cut her. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been impressed by those minutes enough. Mm-hmm. And then I guess maybe Van Sluten, but I also kind of like her for a development slot.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff?
So,
do you have a backup?
So,
I didn't know that was an option.
I would cut Lexi. That's just me. I think, if they're dead set on keeping Lexi, I would probably cut Mackenzie Holmes and sign her to a development spot. I think they'll cut Grace. I think they will cut Jaylen Brown. I think they will cut probably Renaya Davis as well. But I think Renaya, I would be surprised if either Renaya or Jaylen wasn't on the development squad. So, yeah, I'd be curious to see what they do. I mean, obviously, like, Lexi has been their starting shooting guard. But, you know, I don't know if that's also like a, hey, go out and prove it. But if, like I said, if they maybe, if I was running things I don't have any of that personal relationship, right? So I can be a little bit more cold-blooded, like, just being like, hey, I'm looking at basketball. Like, what are the factors in my brain? My brain would say, I think Zaya's better, you know, she's been a better shooter more recently. And by recently, I mean, even like a couple seasons probably, but she's definitely a better ball handler. She doesn't, like, Lexi's really turnover prone. And then she often won't go back on defense. And I wonder if that's why she got in the doghouse with Noe. But I mean, also just like, where are you at right now? Like, do I think that Lexi Brown might be a better player than Taina Mare right now? Yeah, I could make that argument. But what are we doing? We just lost, you know, and by we, obviously the Storm, what are they doing? They lost all their, you know, their top five scorers. They're clearly going into whether they want to say it or not, they're clearly going into a rebuild. What would be the point of like cutting your 22-year-old point guard that you just drafted in the first round like a month ago and hanging on to a 31-year-old player that isn't like doesn't do certain things as well as some of your other players that you also have on the roster who are also younger?
It's gonna be, there's gonna need to be some cold-blooded cuts here coming up, and it will be very interesting. We'd love to have you all back on the forecast to talk about it as we get this storm season underway. Thanks so much, Bella and Jeff, for joining us.
Bye.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again to Jeff Brown from the Storm Chasers and Bella Munson from the 9 News for joining us here on the Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. All right, this week we will be watching more women's sports. The Rain play Sunday, May 10th at 4 p.m. here at home on Lumen Field. That's Mother's Day. Take your mom or let your mom go by yourself. The Storm will be playing their home opener against the Golden State Valkyries on Friday, May 8th at 7 p.m. If you can't make it to Climate Pledge Arena, you can watch on ION nationally or Prime Video locally. Then they will also be on the road playing the Connecticut Sun just 2 days later on Sunday, May 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific on Como or CW, or again, you can stream it on Prime Video if you're local. UW softball plays Minnesota in that Big Ten tournament on Wednesday, May 6th at 11 a.m. You can watch it on the Big Ten Network. The Seattle Tempest, our ultimate Frisbee team, plays their last home game of the season this Saturday, May 9th at Interbay Stadium versus San Diego. That one starts at 6 p.m. All right, that's it for our show this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. Our show airs on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. You can also find us on any of your favorite podcast networks. I'm Maggie Mertens, your host. We're produced by Jeff Scott Shaw. Thanks to Crystal Fincher, Shannon Chang, and the rest of the staff at KVRU for broadcasting our show. Thanks to Jeff Brown, Bella Munson, and Sarah Rose Nottingham for joining us this week. We want to hear from you. Please reach out with story ideas, comments, or questions, or hot takes about Doppler or anything else, really. Email us at theforecast@kvru.org or on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports. For more information on how to support our show and KVRU, head over to kvru.org. We'll be back next week with more women's sports.